Turn tonight to Matthew chapter 6, and we're picking up again on the Sermon on the Mount, which we last spoke on back at the end of December, just before the Christmas holiday period. And I must say, last time, if you were here, I spoke on the passage about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and not taking retaliation and so on. And I tried to tie that into the Christmas theme and just to the dangers of Christmas gatherings, where we're maybe tempted to say things or do things that we when we meet people that we maybe don't see very much throughout the year. And I have to say, I haven't had as much reaction to a talk as I did on the basis of that talk. People really appreciated it. And some people really took it to heart and went away and really took some big steps just in response to God's word. And it's great to hear that it's just not about hearing the word. It is also about doing the word. So we're turning tonight to Matthew chapter 6. Every time I turn to this Sermon on the Mount, I've never preached through it before completely. But every time I've been studying it and preparing for these midweek meetings, it really blesses my own soul. And that has been the case tonight as well. So Matthew 6, reading from verse 1, the words of Christ. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. And we thank God again for the reading of his word. The American evangelist, Dr. Billy Graham, has preached, you probably know his name, you've maybe heard him. He has preached to millions during his lifetime. He's still alive, but is not very well. And across his lifetime, he has also been the spiritual advisor to many US presidents. I don't know if he'll be the advisor to Mr. Trump or not. I don't really think so. The first president he met was President Harry Truman. Anybody remember President Harry Truman? Okay, some heads, yes. And in his autobiography, Dr. Graham tells of what he did wrong immediately after meeting with Harry Truman. This is what happened. The meeting was private, and it was followed by a press conference on the White House lawn. And the press were all there, the reporters and so on, the media people. What did the president say? They shouted. And Billy Graham told him what the president said. What did you say? And Billy Graham told him what he said in his naivety. Did you pray with the president? They shouted, yes, we prayed with the president. There was Dr. Graham and three others with him. And then one of the press pack shouted at him, would you reenact the prayer on the White House lawn? Dr. Graham says, well, we had been planning to thank God for our visit anyway, and now was as good a time as any. The four of us, that is he and his three associates, went to the White House lawn. They bent one knee, and he says, I led the prayer of thanksgiving as sincerely as I could, impervious to the popping flashbulbs and scribbling pencils. He says this, It began to dawn on me a few days later how we had abused the privilege of seeing the president. The president was offended and never asked me back. Now, use that story this evening as an introduction to what Jesus says here in chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And praying in front of the popping flashbulbs and scribbling pencils is one such example of doing your acts of righteousness before men. And here this evening, as we turn to the sixth chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is moving the first chapter. If you've been with us, most of you have, throughout this series on the Sermon on the Mount. The first chapter is chapter 5. A lot of it's to do with Christian character, the type of people that the Christian is, the character they're going to have. But here in chapter 6, it's moving more into the area of the practice of Christian character. There is the practice as well in chapter 5, but in chapter 6, it's the practice. And Jesus deals here with three different areas of practicing our faith: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. So I want this evening to look at these sections in chapter 6, and I want to do it under three headings. As Jesus here applies what he has been saying, it's really important that we apply what we say on a Sunday, that we just don't teach doctrines or we just don't teach stories, but we apply. What does this mean in terms of living out our Christian faith? The first lesson that Jesus gives here to his disciples is in the danger of being religious actors and actresses, where we seek to play or live out a role as religious people in order to impress the people around us. And he identifies, as I've said, these three danger zones: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. Three areas in life in which any of us can be religious actors or actresses. So let's take each of them in turn. And notice just in passing, Jesus says in verse 2, when you give to the needy, the expectation is that if we're Christian people, if we're following Christ, we will be people who give to the needy. Verse 5, when you pray, the expectation is that if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, you will be a man or woman who prays. And verse 16, when you fast, maybe not so much fasting done. We'll come back to that later on. But Jesus here identifies three Christian disciplines: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. And each one of them can be done in order to act out a role, to be a hypocrite, an actor, someone trying to impress the people around you by the way in which you engage in these disciplines. First of all, giving to the needy. Verse 2. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. Now, I don't know if this is where the expression where we sometimes say with people, they're blowing their own trumpet. I'm not sure if this is where it comes from, but it would seem to be where it comes from. And Jesus here is describing the practice in Bible times where the religious rich people would have literally stood in the synagogue or in the temple and blown a trumpet. And the poor people flocked, because they knew there was going to be money given out. Now, the official explanation was, I guess, that blowing the trumpet alerted the poor people who were all over the place, oh, there's going to be money given out, so you better come together and this is where the money's going to be. So you sent forth the message, the poor people heard it and they gathered up their belongings and they ran towards the noise. So you could say, well, this was very compassionate, letting people know that the money was there and the money was going to be given out. Humanitarian, of course, you could say. But Jesus, with the eye of God, sees straight through the hypocrisy. For look at what he says in verse 2. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. The reason these hypocrites, as Jesus calls them, the word means actors, these religious actors, the reason why they gave money was to be seen giving money. To get their backs slapped, to earn the plaudits and approval of the people in the synagogue who were all looking, it's so-and-so's giving money out today. What a rich man, what a generous man, what a kind man. And they were furthering their reputations as generous and good and caring, and they were basking in their own glory. Prayer is also mentioned by Jesus in verse 5 as another danger zone. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Here are people who prayed to be seen praying, who literally stood out on the street with their eyes closed and their hands in the air. The psalmist talks about it, raising my hands up to the Lord. And they stood and they prayed. They prayed out loud. And they loved to be known as pious and devout and close to God. And Jesus analyzes it. You see that again, same phrase, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. They prayed to be seen praying. The Savior's very astute, very shrewd. We're never to think we can pull the wool over Christ's eyes. He looks into the human heart and he sees the pride that's there. And fasting, verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their rewards in full. In other words, when the fast came along, as we say in Northern Ireland, they went around with faces like Lurgan Spades. Oh, I'm fasting today. And people would have said to him, what's wrong with you? You look very glum. Oh, I haven't eaten since breakfast. Why have you not eaten since breakfast? I'm fasting. It is funny, but that's the way it was. They were, again, you see the expression Jesus said, to show men they are fasting in verse 16. To impress people with their piety, with their religiosity, if that's a word, with their spirituality. Now, I don't know about you, but giving to the needy, prayer and fasting, these three danger zones, are still very much alive and well today. You go out to church on a Sunday morning, and you can secretly pride yourself that you're going out to church as your next-door neighbor's washing his car. Or your next-door neighbor's putting out her washing on the washing line. And you grip your Bible even tighter, and you maybe lift it even higher to be seen going out to church. Not that it's wrong to go to church. But Jesus is putting his finger here in the dangers of living our lives as actors, as actresses, trying to impress people with their spirituality. Or giving. You can pride yourself when the annual report comes out. I know nowadays a lot of the annual report are just numbers are given. You can pride yourself how much you give. And look at your man and all he's on and all he gives. I have sat in houses with people who have read to me, not in this congregation, not yet, and have read to me the annual report. And look at your man giving that and all the money they're on in their house. Or you can pride yourself on your prayers. You know, you get the loudest amen in the prayer meeting. Or your prayers are the longest, or your prayers quote the most scripture. It's not wrong to quote scripture. It's not wrong to pray in a prayer meeting. But the danger is you do it for show. I can do that. You can do that. And Jesus is clearly warning here in this passage, be careful not, verse 1, not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. He is warning about the dangers of being showy in our religion, because it's a sure sign of spiritual pride. We're trying to show off. And none of us are immune to the infection of spiritual pride. John Calvin, writing at the time of the Reformation and writing against a church culture that was all into ceremonies and bells and smells. He said this, he said, "Wherever there is great ostentation in ceremonies, sincerity of heart is rare indeed." You know, if you're all into show and big public displays and showing off, it's hiding the heart, which is not sincere. People who blow the most often know the least, I think we could say. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here. The second thing I want you to see here is how Jesus, in this section in the Sermon on the Mount, is critiquing. He's critically analyzing where religion, and here in particular, Bible religion, has the potential to go wrong. Now, I want you to really follow what I'm going to say here this evening. Jesus could have said about the hypocrites giving to the needy, well, at least they're giving money to the poor. Even if they're doing it for the wrong reasons, at least the poor are benefiting. He could have said about the praying of these folk, the hypocrites, he could have said, well, at least they're praying. They could be doing a lot worse. He could have said about their fasting, well, isn't it better they're not drunk and guilty of gluttony? They're fasting. But he didn't say any of those things. He said, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. You see, Jesus here is indicating there is a true spirituality and there is a false spirituality. Even within interpretations of the Bible, there is a true way and a false way to interpret and to live out what the Bible teaches, what he's saying here. We sometimes hear it said of people who go to certain fellowships, well, at least they're going somewhere. Or at least they're hearing something. They could be going to a lot worse. Jesus here is indicating, surely, that there is a religious company we may be keeping, even a Bible-believing, supposedly, religious company that we may be keeping, and yet it is doing irreparable harm. It's deceitful, and it's short-term. You see what he says in verse 2, the end of verse 2, "I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full." At the end of verse 5, he says, "I tell you the truth about the hypocritical prayers. They have received the reward in full." And at the end of verse 16, "I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full." It's just this world. It's just this world, this religion, that's just all show. They have a sense of glory now, but it's not living for the glory then. And this living an act, a religious front, we're fooling ourselves. And we benefit simply in this world, but not in the next. Because there is no next for these folk. They have benefited in full now, in the here and now, but not in the then to come. I'd love to talk more about that. And if you want to talk to me about that, feel free to do so. Thirdly, I don't want to be negative tonight, but Jesus has analyzed here the hypocrites, as he calls them. In verse 2, he calls them hypocrites. In verse 5, he calls them hypocrites. In verse 16, he calls them hypocrites. The word literally means actors. The alternative to a life of religious acting is a life of sincerity and a life of inner reality, a hidden and a real walk with God. So let's return to the three areas in question. Giving, verse 3. "When you give to the needy," he says, "do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Giving, Jesus says. And notice again, and I'm emphasizing this, when you give. There is an expectation upon the follower of Jesus Christ that you will give to the needy. That if a needy case comes before you or you have opportunity to do good to someone who's in need, you'll do that good as an act of compassion in Christ's name. We're not to do it because it makes us feel good when we give to the needy, because that can happen as well, or because it earns the praise of men. But it is to be, as it were, a hidden giving. It's hard to kind of pin this down, you know, when Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you're writing a check, you hold the checkbook with one hand and you write it with the other. How can you stop your left hand knowing what your right hand is doing? But he's indicating, isn't he, there surely, there is to be a kind of a giving to God's work that just goes on quietly, behind the scenes. You know, people just reaching out and doing good and not wanting any credit for it. Being compassionate towards the poor. It honours God. He says, so that your giving, verse 4, may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You do it for God because you love God, and you're not doing it to earn God's approval. It's not reward in that sense. It's the sense of God's smile being all over your life. God sees and rewards what is done in secret. You do it to gladden the heart of God and encourage you to give to the needy when opportunity comes along to do that. Praying, verse 6. Jesus says, when you pray, go into the room, your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, this is not a verse against prayer meetings. In Acts chapter 12, there are early prayer meetings in the church where the people of God came together and prayed as a people. Jesus is not saying that prayer can only be done in your own, in your bedroom. But this is encouragement here, surely, to personal prayer. When you pray, go into your room. It's like it's an appointment with God, or an appointment, you know, you have an appointment with your doctor and you go in, you and him together, you and her together. You have an appointment with God. You close the door. You leave behind the distractions and you leave that phone outside the door. It really annoys me when I forget to leave the phone outside the door and you're praying and the phone pings and you just think, I have to answer that. You close the door. It means you close out distractions. And Jesus says you pray to your Father who is unseen. Just talk to God. In other words, you don't need to go to a church building to pray. You don't need to ask some religious leader to pray for you. You don't need to use highfalutin words or babble like the pagans, as he says in verse 7, who just think because they rhyme things off that they'll be heard. Say this prayer 5 times or 10 times and you'll be heard. Jesus says, just talk to God. Just talk to God. Believing he is there, that he hears you and knows what you need before you ask, verse 6. He will reward you. It's beautifully simple. It's sincere, it's humble, and it's very far from the performance type of praying. Praying to show off, praying to be seen, praying to get the plaudits of men. And the last area is fasting, verse 16. When you fast, verse 17, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting is going without food for a period of time, say a day, for religious reasons, to bring your soul under control before God. Not sure really how much fasting's done nowadays. It's been abused certainly across the years, but so is prayer, and so is giving being abused as well. But it's amazing, you know, when folk fast, how you learn about your inner soul, how the cravings of your inner man or inner woman dominate your life. And fasting is a reminder that those inner feelings, those inner yearnings need sometimes to be brought under control. I'm not speaking on fasting tonight, but Jesus says, when you do it, don't let on you're doing it. Don't do it before men to show off, but put oil in your head. Kind of Brill cream, is that? Oil in your head. And wash your face. And God will reward you. Again, the sense of sincere, humble walking with God. Let me conclude then this evening with a challenge. And I guess it's probably true of all of us. Are you, am I ever tempted to do something to show off? To say something to show off? I put my hand up and I say yes. I did something the other day and I wish I hadn't done it the other day. Because I only said it to show off. And afterwards I thought, you only said that to show off. We do it in prayer, we do it in giving, we do it in fasting, but we can't impress God, remember. Galatians 6 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. So the stress here is on secret, genuine fellowship with God, not hypocritical, but real Christianity, that which is secret and hidden, and delightful fellowship with God. So we're going to pray. I hope I haven't killed the prayer meeting.